Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. This is Dr. Fred. You are listening to a series that we're going to begin today about the life of Joseph. And by the way, before I get going, I just wanted to note that Sermon Audio has let us know that Apple has made a decision to no longer host the apps that Sermon Audio creates for their individual broadcasters. So if you happen to have our Study, Grow, Know app downloaded onto your phone or tablet, it will continue to work until Apple shuts it off. And right now, I guess the rule is that Apple wants every individual broadcaster to individually create their own app and submit it directly to the App Store, Apple App Store, as opposed to having Sermon Audio create the app for us and then they submit it on our behalf. They don't like that idea. Apple doesn't. So I don't know how long you'll be able to go ahead and continue using our app if you've downloaded it for either Android or Apple, but it will continue to work, as I say, until Apple decides that it's no longer going to work. But what you can do is you can download the Sermon Audio app for your phone, your tablet, or whatever, and then you can simply look us up through that app and then bookmark us so that you don't miss our blogs and podcasts, if you will. All right, so let's get into the life of Joseph. I mean, there's lots of life and lessons we can learn from him, and this is part one. So I hope you enjoy this. I appreciate you taking the time out to listen to it. There's a lot we can learn from many of the patriarchs, from many of the prophets of old, and certainly Joseph provides us with really great opportunities to learn how God works through his people. So on January 1st, which was a number of months ago, of course, I began reading the Bible all over again and started with, of course, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Every day I read through the Bible, and then at the end of the year, I basically start over again because I've finished it. So that's why I do that, and it is not a read-through once and done. It's a read-through and we're done, and then we start over, because there's always something new that you're going to pick up from reading God's Word. And I really hope that if you consider yourself to be a Christian, if you believe yourself to be a Christian, that you'd read His Word daily. There's a lot we can get from it, an awful lot. And things will just remain with us because of the truth found in His Word, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. So I hope you'll be doing that. I mean, the more you read His Word, the more you study it, the more your eyes are open to the valuable truths found within His Word. It's not simply becoming more familiar with it, though that does happen. It's seeing more of what's actually in the text itself and being able to connect it to other portions of Scripture. It's also important to learn what the Bible says to you about me and our lives. If you're hearing some extraneous crinkling, I have this dog. His name's Buster, who likes to chew on plastic, and that's what he's doing. I tried to get it away from him before I started, but he likes to play. Nope, I'm keeping it away from you. So hopefully that's not going to be overwhelming and overbearing, but that's my six-month-old, 49-pound lab German Shorthair Pointer / Belgian Malinois mix. He's a good boy, but he likes to chew things. If I can get it away from him, I sure will. Well, in this short series, we're going to talk about Joseph, who, of course, is one of the patriarchs of Israel. Genesis 37 introduces us to this young man who was a favored son of his father, Jacob, who was also referred to as Israel. Now, Joseph and his 11 brothers became the patriarchs of Israel, and from them, the 12 tribes of Israel came into existence. Now, these 11 brothers were not prime examples of men with integrity, unfortunately, and for the most part. In fact, they hated Joseph, who seemed to them to be a braggart and a tattletale. Genesis 37, 2. And it didn't help that apparently Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his brothers. Genesis 37, 3. Now, it really doesn't matter what excuse a parent might have for loving one child more than another. The text tells us that Jacob loved Joseph more than the others because Joseph was the son of his old age. That's what it says in Genesis 37:3. Well, this obviously did not set well with the other 11 sons, and Jacob should have understood this. Joseph should have understood it, but he obviously felt he had protection of his father. And it also didn't help that Joseph seemed to be a bit of a braggart, though this could have been done in innocence. Starting in verse 5 of Genesis 37, we learn about Joseph's first dream, or his first recorded dream. Here's 5 through 8, Genesis 37. I'm reading from the ESV. Now, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. And he said to them, "Hear this dream that I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us, or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now there's a possibility that Joseph was not really bragging. He could have been just excited about having such a dream and wanted to share it. But when he had a second dream along the same lines, yet with more detail, it seems to indicate that what Joseph shared was seen as bragging or lording it over everyone, including his parents, because by then he understood what it meant for his brothers and his parents. Even so, it's probably best to reserve judgment on Joseph's heart, because the text really doesn't tell us what was in his heart at the time. So we really can't go there. That's what Jesus means in Matthew 5 through 7 when he says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." We're not allowed to judge a person's heart or motivation because those are things we can't see. We can take a guess, but we can't judge. So note that the second dream, which is recorded in Genesis 37, 9 through 11, was not just about his brothers, but also included Joseph's mother and father. They were referred to in this dream metaphorically as the sun and the moon. Interesting, isn't it? Oh, and by the way, as an aside here, but connected, take the time to read Revelation 12. The chapter provides a very quick summary of the history of Israel through to the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus into heaven. And notice specifically verse 1 of Revelation 12. It says, "And a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars," unquote. Now, this verse speaks of the nation of Israel, the woman. Notice the reference to the sun, the moon, the 12 stars. This refers to Joseph's mother, the moon, father, the sun, and 11 other sons, stars, for a total of 12 when we include Joseph. Isn't it fascinating how the Bible interprets itself? And that's another reason why we should be so diligent in reading the Bible through, because that's the only way we are going to get an overall understanding of how the Bible interprets itself, what it teaches, etc. You know, I've read so many commentators who offer a myriad of explanations for the meaning of Revelation 12:1, but only conservative Bible scholars seem to get it right. It makes the most sense when understood this way, since it points back to the beginnings of the nation of Israel. Now, certainly Jacob, his wife, and their sons are the actual direct beginning of Israel, though Abraham and Isaac and their wives also made Israel possible indirectly. But certainly this is more proof that God and God alone ultimately wrote Genesis through Revelation. To God, it's one large book. All of it goes together. To us, it's 66 individual books, which were written over a period of 1600 to 2000 years. But to God, that's not it. God is speaking to us through his word, and it doesn't matter who the human author was. So here we have Joseph talking about the fact that even his mother and father, along with his 11 brothers, would actually bow down to him. Well, if I was Jacob hearing that, I'd be a bit miffed and incredulous as well. Well, Joseph's brothers simply used this as more reason to hate him. And Joseph actually thought his brothers would bow down to him? Ha! They would never, never do that. And in fact, they began making plans to kill him to ensure that that didn't happen. 37:20 of Genesis. Can you imagine wanting to kill your own sibling? out of jealousy? Well, certainly this wouldn't be the first time, as we know about Cain and Abel, with Abel being killed for roughly the same reason as Joseph's brothers wanted to kill him. Joseph certainly rubbed his brothers the wrong way, and it is quite possible that to Jacob, Joseph could do no wrong. This had a very direct hand in setting all of his 11 brothers against him, as we'll also learn. It is something God used for his own good pleasure, though, as well. So Jacob tells Joseph to go check on his brothers to see if they need anything and to find out if all was well as they tended their flocks in the field. Well, after searching for them, Joseph finds them not far from Shechem. As soon as they saw him, their hatred rose to the surface and they actually began to openly discuss killing him to be rid of him from their lives. Their off-the-cuff plan involved killing him outright, then tossing his body into one of the waterless cisterns nearby. They would then claim to Father Jacob that a wild animal had killed Joseph, Genesis 37:20. Reuben, the oldest brother, argued against killing Joseph, verse 21. Reuben's intention was to come back later to save Joseph and bring him back to Father Jacob. The brothers overcame Joseph upon his arrival and tossed him in a cistern. And clearly, that was the end of their plan, since they had agreed not to kill him. They didn't really know what to do with Joseph at that point. So what now? Well, as luck, quote-unquote, would have it, a traveling caravan of Arabs was approaching on its way to Egypt. This caravan was essentially made up of some of Ishmael's descendants, verse 27. And that gave Joseph's brothers an idea. They would actually earn some money off of the brother they'd hated, and they'd get rid of him without killing him. Well, as the caravan approached, they pulled Joseph out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels. Now, a shekel is a unit of weight, which would be roughly worth several hundred dollars in silver today, since silver is often sold by the ounce. The brothers were happy. They'd gotten rid of their pesky, annoying younger brother, who was always preaching to them and ratting them out, and now all they had to do was sell Joseph's death to their father and deal with the repercussions of that for many years to come. Can you imagine lying to your father about the alleged death of your younger brother and having to maintain that lie for 17 to 20 years? Do you think it would start eating away at your very soul? Imagine watching and listening to your father grieve and wail for days while you knew the actual truth but could not tell him without admitting to your own involvement in a scheme that you helped create. A person's heart has to be pretty hard for that to happen. A seared conscience is most likely the result. Now, many scholars believe Joseph is a type of Christ because there are so many parallels between Joseph's life and Jesus. And we're going to highlight some of them as we move through this series in each article, but we'll also discuss the ramifications for Christians, how we are to act, what our demeanor should be to the world and to God, and we will look at what God expects from us in spite of the circumstances that we often face on a daily basis. Now, one parallel we can make between Joseph and Jesus is that just as Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers, Jesus also was sold to the Romans by his own fellow Jews, his brothers. Joseph had done nothing morally wrong that warranted him being treated so badly. It's even possible that as a 17-year-old young man, the things he said to his brothers and father were not done in a bragging way, as I mentioned previously, but possibly in a very innocent way. It would be natural for people listening to these things to take umbrage or to become very jealous if their hearts were not right with God. Now, Jesus often said things that pushed people's buttons. Did he do this solely for the purpose of pushing their buttons? No, he did it to wake them up to the truth because he always spoke the truth. And in spite of this, many rejected his message during his day, and they continue to reject that same message today. And their pride will not allow them to bend the knee, admitting that they need him. Now, in Joseph's case, he shared what he dreamed. Obviously, the dreams were from God. Who knows if he actually thought it would happen? Maybe he simply thought they were interesting dreams at the time. Nonetheless, Joseph told the truth and was roundly rejected for doing so, to the point that he was sold, given over to Gentiles, just like Jesus. He had no idea what to expect. Jesus was also sold by his own fellow Jews to Gentiles, who condemned him to death, where he died a miserably painful death. Now, as far as Joseph was concerned, he also died to his father Jacob and his mother. Now, there are other parallels between Joseph and Jesus that we're going to address as we come to them. We'll also learn how Joseph ultimately reacted to the treachery of his own brothers. And we'll see the parallel between that and what happened with Jesus. Moreover, we're going to learn what our demeanor as Christians needs to be toward those who slander us and mistreat us. It's not for the faint of heart. We need God. We need His power. We need His strength to live a life that brings Him glory and pleases Him. We'll see you next time when we produce the second part of Joseph's life and lessons. Thanks so much for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how much He loves you.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.